Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. We'd like to thank you once again for tuning in. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 p.m. And for those of you who have tuned in, we thank you so much for participating on this Wednesday. You could have been doing a lot of things, but you chose to take time to hear the Word of God. It's a little kind of hectic around here. My wife is Suzanne is on one Zoom, and I'm on with the blog radio. So we're going to move forward and turn it over. We're in Long Island, New York, my hometown, amen, with Pastor Dawn Mixon. And we'd like to let you know, for those of you who have tuned in, you can archive, go to the archives of Blog Talk Radio, and then type in We Can Begin Again, and you can hear this message shared with a friend or any of the messages that have been up. But what greater way to share the Word of God, amen, with family and friends, especially at time right now. We pray that everyone is safe and doing what you need to do to take precautions with these uncertainties, amen. We're going to move on over to Long Island, New York, with Pastor Dawn Mixon, and she always has a wonderful word, a powerful word, and we always look forward to her coming on. And we're taking a stop in Long Island, New York. Pastor Mixon, are you there?
Yes, God bless you, Pastor Clay. Can you hear me all right on today? Okay. Grateful to God for all of you who are on the line on tonight. And I hope and pray that you will send this line to someone else. Please send this link to someone else to let them know that we are on the air on tonight. And we hope that what we have been given to share with you will bless you on tonight. We're just going to have a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the opportunity to glean in your word. We do not take it for granted. All the blessings that you've given unto us. For God, we count it as your glory over our life. We count it as continuous blessings that flow in our life. And we are ever so thankful, not just because of what you have done, but most of all, God, because of who you are. And because of who you are, we are able to survive. We are able to be where we are. So we're grateful to God for you, and we give your name the glory and the honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. All right, we're going to 2 Corinthians, and we are going to be reading out of chapter 9. It was sent out that we were coming out of 8, but we're going to put it first. 6 in 2 Corinthians, starting at verse 6. And the word of the Lord reads, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully, every man according to his purpose in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." I'm going to say that again. For God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Again, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Verse 9, "And as it is written, he hath despaired abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever." Verse 10, "Now he that ministereth seed or soweth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness." All right, I want to deal with a subject on today. He's the God of more than enough. He's the God of more than enough. Now, I'm going to stretch out here and deal with one of the most touchy subjects in church. One of the most touchy subjects that we deal with in church is not sin. Mm-hmm. One of the most touchy subjects that we deal with in church is giving.
Amen.
Notice I didn't say money. I said giving.
Mm-hmm. Giving.
Because there is a difference. People don't have a problem, which I've come to the conclusion that they don't really have a problem when they give so much. The problem that people have is how they give and where they give,
mm-hmm.
or more so how people tell them to give and where people tell them to give. When we understand that our blessings lie within our giving, there are a lot of people right now in this season who are trying to find a quick way to make money or to keep a flow of money going. And so some of you may have been dealing or hearing different ones who are inviting you to susus and different things like that in this season, because we're trying to get a heads up on what we may encounter even from this point on. Maybe about 2 months back, 3 months back, when we first had encountered the season that we're in now, there were those who were completely frightened of what they were going to face. Mm-hmm. And then we are still dealing with those who are dealing with feeling as if they will not have enough. And so we don't have a problem giving as long as we think or believe that we're going to get something back of the same value or greater. So mm-hmm. when we have the expectation that we're going to get back more or get back in value the same amount that we gave, we have no problems or issues giving. And so when I look at the verses that we've read, the Bible lets us know, it says, starting at verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So we've got to look at the word of the Lord as it is giving us an understanding. It is very, very, very true. Whether we are looking at it in the natural or the spiritual, when you give, the more you give, the old song says, the more you give, the more he'll give to you. And the song mm-hmm. continued to say, just keep on giving, because it's mm-hmm. really true. You mm-hmm. can't beat God's giving, no matter how hard you try. So when I look at all of this, and I look at giving, as I say, it's a touchy subject, especially when it comes to money, because oftentimes we don't see how we are going to get the return on the seed that we sow. So when we don't get something back, that's why it's easy for us to go shopping. We can go to the grocery shopping. We can go to the store and to the clothes shopping centers and different things like that, because when we put our money out, we already have what's in our hand in return for the value of the money that we have given. So it's easy for us to go to the store, pick up our groceries, and we're happy with what we brought back because we can see what we spent our money on. Not really focusing or paying attention on the fact that you really spent out more than what you really brought back. But mm-hmm. what I've understood in my life is that I come to God with nothing. Mm-hmm. I come to him with nothing. And when we can come to an understanding that we come to God more than we give, I'm going to say that again. We come to God more than we give. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean that we come to God, anytime we come to God in prayer, how often do we come to God in prayer just giving him worship? Asking for nothing. We come to God just saying, today I am just here as a worshiper. Today, God, I'm coming to you or before you with nothing, with praise in my heart, just to come to you to tell you, God, how much I value you. But no, when we come to God, we come to God always with a mission in mind. We always come to God with an understanding that, God, I'm coming to you because I'm in need. I'm coming to you, God, because there's trouble in my way. I'm coming to you, God, because I have an expectation out of you that I'm waiting to receive. But we always come to God empty-handed with our hands out, waiting for him to fill what's empty. But I've come to a conclusion, if we would do that to one another, if we would come to one another with only the mindset that I'm coming to you only when I need something from you, oh, my God, we will avoid people like the plague. We would not want to hear from anybody who would consistently come to us with no return, but constantly coming to us with withdrawal. And so we've got to be ever so careful how we handle our Almighty God. Why do I say that? Because we want, God, I want you to do this. I need you to heal. I need you to set free. I need you to deliver. I need you to get me out of this situation. I need you to get me to come out of this. I need you to do this for me. And when we get what we need from God, God sometimes does not hear from us again till the next problem arises. That seems as if somebody is labeled as a user. Because when you have people who come in your life only to extract, but never to deposit, there's a problem. And I find out that there is a problem not just in the church, but there is a problem in the world with the mindset that we don't want to have nothing to do with God unless he's got something to give us. My God. So we've got to understand that God is more than just a bank that we retrieve from. He is more than just a hospital that we get healed from. He is more than just someone who delivers us out of our own inadequacies that we have in our life, our own sinful nature. We come to God with so many things, but we very rarely have a deposit, but yet and still, we're still expecting a stream of income coming in from God without any deposit. One thing I realize is that as a worshiper, as a praiser, when I worship God, because God is not asking us for much, he asks us for very little. And within the very little that he asks us for, we find ourselves incapable of doing those things. As a worshiper, as a praiser, I set up kingdom credit in heaven. So when I come to God in need of a thing to withdraw from him, I'm able to withdraw from the wells of salvation. The song says, we draw water from the well of salvation. With joy we draw water from the well of salvation. So that's what God is saying. He's saying to us that when we come to him, we have to come to him in a mindset of being happy about what we're given. It says in verse 7, every man according as he prospereth, purpose in his heart. So let him give. So let's stop right there. You got to first ask yourself, what is in your heart? We're good. When praise and worship is going, as soon as praise and worship is finished, here we come to a place of we're getting ready to receive our offering. This is the time, if you're very careful, you'll find people going to the bathroom. People oftentimes have something to do in the middle of offering because they have other things they want to do. This is not a bathroom break, people, when we go to church, when we are to give. This is not intermission. This is where we have the most, one of the most greatest opportunities. And when we look at it as a great opportunity and not look at it as something that we should begrudge, that's why God said in the same verse, not grudgingly or of necessity. Let's stop right there. Not grudgingly or necessity. What is he saying? What God is saying, don't be mad about giving. Because if you're going to be mad about what you're going to give, then you should keep what you're giving. Watch this. Because what we've got to understand is that God does not need our giving. Because first of all, the only reason why we have to give is because he gave us to give. So it's not like you're helping God out trying to give to him because God is in need. We give to God because we're in need. When we understand that concept, that we only, I'm giving to God, not begrudgingly, but I'm giving to God cheerfully, watch this, out of what he's blessed me with to give. All right? What do you mean? Next thing it says, not of necessity. That means you don't give your rent, you don't give your mortgage, you don't give your light bill. You don't give, and I know y'all heard people say in church, you give your light bill, give your mortgage. No, that the Bible says right here, give not of necessity. The things that you need, no. There ought to be something that you give unto God, which in other words, my necessities, the things that I need to take care of, Bible lets us know. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar. Render unto God what is God. All right? The things that we give to God is the things out of our want, not of our need. I'm going to say that again. So in other words, I don't take my money to give unto God for the things that he's given us to take and provide for us. I take that money out of the stuff that I really don't need, but I just want. It is not of something that is necessary for me to have. I'm going to say it again. I don't need to go to the restaurant. I don't need that particular outfit. I don't need those particular pair of shoes. If you are walking around with red bottoms and you're walking around, these shoes are the most uncomfortable shoes. Now, please understand, y'all, I did not go and buy a pair of red bottoms. They were given to me, and I returned them to the giver, watch this, not because they were not nice and not because they were not expensive. I gave them back to the giver because they were not comfortable for me. And I'm not going to walk around, watch this, in something that's uncomfortable just so I can say that I have an expensive pair of shoes on. Please understand, that's not how Pastor Dawn rolls. Pastor Dawn has an understanding. I'm not going to pay $1,000 for a pair of shoes. Now, if you want to be a giver and sow into my life a pair of shoes, I'll wear them as long as they're comfortable. But I'm not going to take that same $1,000 that you put in for those pair of shoes. We will go to the store, go on Amazon, pay $500, $600, $700 for different outfits, and when we have it in our closet so that we can watch this look apart or look good, but we won't take that same amount of money and say, I'm going to give it to the house of God, or not necessarily even just give it to the house of God. See, this is when things get real, real quiet in church. Well, we're going to ask everyone if you can help us to give $100. We scream over $100, but we don't have a problem going to the Louis Vuitton store. We don't have a problem going to different stores where they have bags for $600 or $700, $800. And then we bring that same item, my God, to the house of God, and it's empty. Let me explain something to you, people of God. If you are walking around with an $800 pair of shoes, a $600 pair of pocketbook, and you have nothing in that pocketbook of greater value, if it wasn't given, you shouldn't have bought it. I'm going to let y'all marinate on it. That's why I got quiet real quick. Like I said, this is a touchy subject because we don't like people to tell us how to give or where to give. Mm-hmm. Let me explain something to you. Why am I sharing this with you? Because we always think that when we give in the house of God, it comes back in a materialistic way. Watch this. We are having it in expectation in a materialistic way. But watch this. In this season, I'm learning how to give because I need something that I don't, that I can't put on my arm and I can't put on my feet. I need something that I can't wrap around my neck or put on my shoulders. I need something that I can't just carry around because it looks pretty. I need something that is going to go against the laws of nature on my behalf. My God, I need miracles. And see, can I tell you, I don't care how much you deposit into Macy's or deposit into Amazon or deposit into Louis Vuitton or deposit into Michael Kors. As long as you deposit, you're going to get what you get. You're going to get what you see. You're going to get that pocketbook. You're going to get that those shoes. You're going to get that mink coat. But watch this. When I sow into the Almighty God, I get back healing. I get back deliverance. I get back my children being saved. I get back things that cannot just be deposited in my life without God doing it for me. Because I don't know anybody in here or who is on this line who's listening. Somebody please tell me the last time you bought a materialistic item that it brought you out of a place of deliverance from alcohol, drugs, your children getting out of jail, your children being strung out on drugs, your husband or wife being strung out on drugs. There's some things that God does with our giving, my God, because that we have purposeful put in our hearts to show God, listen, God, I'm not giving this begrudgingly. I'm not giving this. I'm giving this because I know that you are going to take care of me in spite of everything that I'm going through. And so when I give, I don't give because of. I give to God because God already let us know. Watch verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound. Watch this. Toward you. I'm going to say it again. And God is able. Please understand that Michael Kors is not able, but he feels that you're able. Louis Vuitton is not able, but Louis Vuitton feels that you're able. Y'all not catching it. See, because the thing is that Dawn Nixon is able to go to Macy's. Dawn Nixon is able to go to Louis Vuitton. Dawn Nixon is able to go to Michael Kors. Dawn Nixon is able to go to these various different restaurants and different places and give grace toward those who are providing for me. All right? So, in other words, I'm giving and they're receiving. Watch this. Mm-hmm. And the majority of the time, what I'm giving is nowhere in value of what I should get from them. I accept what they give me because they got their name on it. Y'all ain't catching it. Their name, I'm paying not so much for quality as much as I'm paying for a name. All right? Mm-hmm. So we're praying for paying for a brand. When we start understanding, if I can give God more than I give a brand, because you have got to understand that the reason why they have the brand
is because God has given them the creativity to make the brand. So please understand is that whatever we're giving unto God, we're not giving out of necessity. We are giving unto God because, watch this again in verse 8, and God is able to make all grace. Y'all understand? See, we are in a place where we need God's grace to abound in our lives. See, because there are some things that we have done that require grace to be added. My God. There's some things that are going on in our lives that we depend and need God's grace and his mercy, my God, to see us through it. And so I cannot begrudgingly or give of necessity to God, but I've got to come cheerfully, excited about it, even though when I decided to give him what I wanted to give somebody else, materialistic gain, I said, you know what, God, I need to understand how this process works, because I get upset because we like to see our money sitting in the bank. Those who have money, and we don't like to see it deplete. If we, you know, you have those who have money in the bank, and they don't like to see a dollar missing, especially when you have it in a savings account. You have a lot of a certain amount of money. I don't mind adding to it, but I don't want to extract from it. All right? So we've got to understand that at the same mindset that when I give unto God, he is going to replenish, my God, to me good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The problem that we have, Elder Clay, is that nobody sees it immediately. And when we don't see it immediately, we're just like some of us who are in these susus, because we watched everybody else get blessed, and when it was our turn, they said, we need you to add more people. We need you to add more people. We can't keep the flow going until you add more people. So what ends up happening is we're in Lodibar. We're waiting in a place, in a low place, waiting, because then we get an attitude. We don't think about the fact that we blessed somebody that who may have really, really needed it more than us. We just look at the fact that I never got back what I thought I was going to get back. Watch this. Because our expectation was that it's going to come a certain way, more than what I gave, I'm giving. So I expect it to come back the same way I give it. Okay, so I've got to understand it, that there are some things that I need from God that it does not matter how I sold it. It always matters how he gives it back to me. And so when I understand that my sowing does not always, because listen, money can't give you what you need when you're in a situation that can't be fixed with money. We can understand, but if you're sitting in the bed with cancer and you're begging God to fix it, and the doctor says, well, there's nothing left I can do. It does not matter how much money you have in your account. You can be a multi-billionaire and find out that you cannot be cured. We've seen a billionaire who was very ill, who it did not matter, his money didn't matter when sickness came in his life, because no matter how he was going through, it did not matter how much money he had, death was still knocking at his door. And since death was still knocking at his door, he found himself in a place where he was a billionaire, and it didn't matter. My God.
Didn't matter.
But when you give unto God and you don't even have two pennies to rub together, but God will turn around and you're in a situation the same as a billionaire. He heals you, and you ain't have nothing but 2 cents, but you trust God with what you had, and you gave to God cheerfully, and he gave to you something that money could not buy. All right? And look at verse 9. And it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Listen, you've got to understand, when we give to those who need, and I'm telling you right now, people of God, there are people who are in need. When I think about, honestly, a lot of times we think that everybody is where we are. Even though we see people, we know that people say, oh, I need, the poor is here. But unless you're actually around it or know somebody who is desperately in need, until you understand that there are people who are living in cardboard boxes, until you understand people who have lost their jobs and lost their homes and lost different things, that you are gracious enough from God's blessing to receive. There is no way in the world that I can be in the season that I'm in, still being blessed by God with a roof over my head, food on my table, still got gas in my tank, and driving my own car, and still not understand that I need to be thankful to the Almighty God for what He's done for us.
Yes.
And when I look at somebody, watch this, and I'm so concerned about what's in my account that I don't want to see $1 missing, and I see somebody in need, and I overlook them because I don't want to lose out. Let me tell you something, people of God. When you give to God's people or give to the poor, when you give to the poor, you clothe the naked. When I tell you, when you do that, God's going to give it back. Watch this. He's going to allow, my God, the grace, hallelujah, to be abound toward you. Okay? So there's something that you're going to get from God because you, as a representation of God, said, I'm going to give to God's people. I'm going to give to God's creation so they're not walking around here without clothes or shoes. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That they're not walking around here with no place to live. They're not walking around here without food on their table. So we've got to understand, even as much as we give, it's still not more than what God has already given unto us.
Amen.
Please understand that you're not going to give more than God. It's impossible. I don't care what we say. God started out already giving us more than what we could give him when we first arrived here. Hallelujah. When God allowed us to be born into this world, we have already been given more than what God, than what we could give God. And so we've got to understand that there is a purpose for us. I don't care if everything that I depleted out of my went to somebody who was in need. I have an understanding that even though I don't have it in my possession, that God is going to take care of my very needs. And it did not matter whether or not I was without for that moment. God said, I'm going, there's no way in the world I'm going to let you give everything that you have and I don't bless you or take care of you. And so I had an understanding that God, I got to a point where I had to appreciate God. I had to understand that I had a greater appreciation and a greater respect for God even more in the season where I'm at right now, because I got so caught up. You know, this downtime has really, really allowed me to see God for himself. It allowed me to see things that I was allowing my mind to be clouded by. Elder Clay, I love church. When I tell you I love church, I love everything about the way we do church. I love the music. I love the worship. I love the dance. I love the praise. And I said, you know what, as I was driving on my way to work one day, and I started looking at what the Lord has blessed me with, that I'm even able to be in my car and drive to work, I started thanking God for my car. I started thanking God for the materialistic things. I even thank God for the breath in my body. I thank God for so many things. And I said to him, God, I don't want to love church more than I love you.
Because sometimes
we can get so caught up in our surroundings.
That's right.
The very fact that I come to church that becomes a ritualistic thing instead of a worship. You know, and so we forget about sometimes I'm going to church because that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to church because I'm expected to. I'm going to church because I have some type of influence in church. You know what? I'm going to church because I know they're going to give me a certain VIP seat in church. I'm going to church because I said, God, I don't want to love church more than I love you. If I'm sitting in the parking lot because there ain't no more room in the church and I have to watch the service from a big screen, I don't want to be so important in the church that I miss the whole thing of why I go to church. And so you've got to understand, people of God, God is allowing us to see his glory in the very midst of the pandemic, in the very midst of death and sickness. God is allowing us to see who he is. And the Bible lets us know that we've got to look and trust God for everything. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Not church, but God directs your path. The truth of the matter is, there would be no church if there was no sin.
Right.
And if there was no sin, then God would not have to redeem us. If there was no redemption, we would only know God, and we would not know church. That's the bottom line. So when I realized that I need God more than I need the things of materialistic things before I need anything else that I look on earth for, my God, the only reason why we got so attached to certain things on earth is because we were introduced to it and we liked it. But we don't understand. When we introduce you to Jesus, we act like it's Brussels sprouts or the things that people don't like to eat, the very thing that we hate to eat or intake into our body. When people are introduced to Jesus, we are sometimes so negative, and I'm talking about the world in general. We reject God just to receive what he made. That's a problem.
Yes.
That's a problem. When we reject the Creator and don't realize that we reject the Creator, but we grab for the creature. But the creature is only here because the Creator designed him to be here. We're in other words, when we're looking at a picture of a thing, and then you have the real thing sitting there in front of you, oh, I want the picture because the picture looks better than what I'm really seeing you. You know, there's sometimes you can have an individual who's right in front of you, and they may have written a book, scored a film, did something that was, you know, important, that's the biggest thing out. And you have the picture sitting right there of the individual, and then you have the individual sitting next to the picture. You'd rather take a picture with the picture than take a picture with the individual. Why do we do this? Why? Because, oh, the picture looks nicer. You look nicer in this picture than you do in real life. So I want my picture to come out real nice, so I'm standing next to you. It's a mindset. That's the mindset of people that will rather take a form of godliness and deny the power of God himself. It makes absolutely no sense. I want the materialistic God, but I don't want God. I want what God can do, but I don't want God. I want God to do all the things that happen. I want to be able to pray and raise the dead. I want to be able to do miracles. I want to be able to give people telephone numbers, social security numbers, and all these different things and birth, but I don't want God. How in the world are you going to have the power or the anointing of God but don't have God? It don't work like that. Oh, my God. Many people have tried. Do you ever understand there's a difference between gifts and anointing? Because the enemy got gifts. People who don't know God have gifts. But how are they working that gift? Can I tell you, when that gift is saturated in the anointing, whew, my God, it will turn that gift into a power-packed thing that will cause things to just turn around, not only for the individual, but you've got to understand, when God's anointing is in the thing, you pay a price for that anointing. And when you pay a price for an anointing, please understand, you protect it. It's just like some of the materialistic things. You can't have a house and don't have no insurance on it. What sense do it make to build a house from the ground up and don't insure it? Because if anything happens to it, you lose everything. And you start from scratch. And you have nothing in return to help you, my God, get that house built again. So you've got to understand that I don't just have church or just have Christianity. I have God in my Christianity, because what do I realize? That God's anointing and God himself is the insurance over my life, that when anything happens to my life, good, bad, or indifferent, there is an insurance policy that I have and a benefit with God, that even when I'm broken and when I'm broke down, when I'm in the worst place of my life, there is something that is there to ensure me that I will be restored.
Hallelujah.
Back better than I was before I was broken.
Before we even started, yes.
My God. So we've got to understand, he is the God of more than enough. Please understand, whatever you have in your life right now, somebody's doing worse off than you. And when I started thinking about how somebody was doing worse than me, I said, God, I have more than enough. But I'm going to keep on blessing you out of my more than enough, so that I will continue to have a continuous flow of blessing of more than enough. See, you've got to understand that it may not be enough to you, my God, because you have a mindset of, oh, I need to be a millionaire, a multimillionaire. I come to a conclusion now in life, I don't need millions to do what God wants me to do. If God wants me to have millions, that's a blessing on top of a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
But please understand the wisdom of a thing.
Yes.
Solomon had an understanding that when God asked him what he wanted from him, he didn't ask God for money. He asked God for wisdom. Because when he asked God for wisdom, wisdom brought about everything else that he needed.
Yes, hallelujah.
Because it's just like this. I can give you all the money in the world. I can give you all the things, the materialistic things in the world. But if I'm not wise with what I have, I can lose everything I have. But what if I get wisdom and I get knowledge and understanding, then I got a better understanding how to, when God does bless me with what I have, I can multiply it and keep it too. My God, don't begrudge God in your giving, people of God. It is your blessing. It is not your giving to God is not a place of destruction. When somebody, if you have it to give, and I'm not talking about what you don't have, I'm talking about what you do have, that you're holding on, because I realized, my first lady said this, Dr. Susie C. Owen, she said this, she said, you can never have more than you have if you keep your hands closed. Because when your hands are open, it gives an opportunity not only to give, but it's an opportunity to receive.
Amen.
But as long as my hands are closed, nothing's coming in and nothing's going out.
And nothing's going out. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So how in the world do I get into a place of reciprocity if I get that because I give? I give. When I give, my God, it comes back to me good measure. Pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Do you know, that's what people do when they're trying to fit something in a container that won't fit all of you, what you have in it. You press it down, and then you try to shimmy it down, and then you want to add more to it. My God. And God said, this is how I want to bless you. Good measure. I want to bless you with a lot. And then I want to press it down. And then I want to shake it around so I can fit more in you. And we begrudge God.
Amen.
And we don't want to give to God when he says, what I want to do for you. But we'll give it to somebody who won't give us nothing back of great value than what God's giving. Listen, people of God, it's my time. It's my time. I'm going to open up for you. If you want to say something or have a question, please understand, giving is not a place that I put myself in as something that I don't want to do or I'm angry about giving. If you're angry about it, then it's your loss. But when you give cheerfully, I always give not knowing how God's going to bless me back, but with an expectation that he will bless me because he said he would. Now, God, you can surprise me at how you give to me, because you're not going to just give me in my want, but you're going to give me in my need. My God. And there is a difference when God gives you what you need instead of what you want. Because what I understand is that when he gives you from your need, it'll go into what you want. Open up the lines, and anybody that want to say something, I'm in here blessing my own self. I'm blessing my own self. I hope you were blessed up tonight.
Hallelujah. We're getting blessed over here.
Hallelujah.
Yes. I'm going to come through very quickly. This has been an awesome message. A much needed.
A lot of chatter behind them. Could you mute yourself? If you have noise behind you, please mute yourself.
Yeah, that's a 216-406.
Okay.
Praise God. Good evening, good evening. I just want to say this is a much-needed message. I've enjoyed it. I tell you, I love when you talk about giving, about tithing, because that's what my pastor taught me. He taught me, and I just want to say something about those shoes. I took my tithe money one time, and I bought these shoes that were just gorgeous, and they looked good and everything, and I thought they felt good at the time. Do you know them shoes, after I got them out the store, got them home, they never did fit right, and it taught me a valuable lesson. Never take God's money and buy something that you're not supposed to buy with
His
money.
Amen.
I took God's money, and I knew it was His money. I said, oh, Lord, you know, I know this is time, my time, money, but God, these shoes look so good. I want these shoes. Well, I paid a valuable lesson, and I thank you so much for this message. It has been a blessing to me, and I thank
you
so much.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Mother Woman.
Call the mics open. You can just talk. 406, I'm unmuting your mic. You were there was a lot of dialogue in the background. There's a lot of noise in the background. Okay, I'm going to close that up. 406, hit number one if you want, if you have any comments, please.
Just wanted to say thank God for the word tonight. I really appreciate it. And just thank you.
God bless you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I want us to live. I want us to live. And not only, we have to understand that living is not just a part of receiving. I'm going to say this because something happened some years ago. Oprah did a show where she had given out, I think it was at a time where she gave everybody those cars and different things like that. When she finished that giving, it was one of the biggest gifts that had ever been given on television. And she said all of the people that had a part in doing that were more blessed. They felt more blessed when they gave people and to see the reaction, not so much because I did it, but because there were some people who were in need of a thing. And when you bless somebody with a need of a thing, when I tell you that does something to your spirit and to your mind and to your understanding that is greater than anything you're going to receive. You got to understand that's the blessing right there, to be able to help somebody who needs it. You know, when you see that, you be like, I'm good. I don't need nothing else. I'm good right there. Now, and know that it wasn't because of you. Watch this, because the Bible lets us know that God is the one that gives seed to the sower. The only reason why I was able to bless you is because God blessed me. It's, y'all got to understand it.
I can't even take credit for it. I am just a vehicle that God used to bless you. So, of course, I'm going to bless God so I can get another blessing so I can bless somebody else. That's how it works.
Amen.
So, yeah, your next moment is not when am I going to get it, it's when I'm going to give it. Amen.
We're blessed to be a blessing.
Amen.
Not always receiving. Amen. It's about being able to bless someone else because the Lord has blessed you. So if He has blessed you, He blesses His children generously, that we should also bless others so that you keep it moving. And I remember I had a pastor years ago that would say that's why the bills of the U.S. bills are called currency. Because you're supposed to keep them
current, move them, give it,
because it keeps moving, and as you give, the Lord will continue to bless you. But if He can't trust you with a dollar, why should He trust you with 100?
That's right.
If you can't, you know, so we're blessed to be a blessing. It's not about the individual. It's about the kingdom.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
I was going to say, I used to hear a long time ago, I heard a pastor say, give what you need and watch God supply the other person's needs and your needs too. And I really couldn't even, that was a long time ago, I couldn't even process. And it's just even this morning, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit said to me, was give what it is that you need. And in the process, I have seen God in so many times supply my need and my neighbor's need, but then also sort of stretch my abilities to ensure that somebody else had it. And so he'll expand it and he'll stretch it. And then when I just got on this call, and this is exactly what the word was for tonight, I just thought, like, God, you are so completely amazing that you'll start the day off with the message and then you'll bring it all full surface and circle and have it confirmed. So thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Also, spiritually, we talk about tithing, which is God's money, but also God has given us gifts, innate gifts that God has given us, perhaps to talk, to be able to teach, to be able to communicate with people, to spread the gospel, and not to utilize those skills. Is the same thing. You can't receive unless you give as well.
Amen.
So you have to be introspectively examine yourself and make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, not only financially, but spiritually, financially. And that's utilizing the gifts that you actually have. Sometimes we have gifts and we don't want to use them. You know, God has given us maybe the ability to. To sing the gospel, sing His word, to speak His word. But, it's not enough just to know it, but you have to actually put it into practice.
Amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to say this. Somebody told me one time, all of us have been, those who are grown up said, somebody told you at some point in time, you can't live anywhere for free.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to pay one way or another. You're going to pay. You have to live. If you're living in somebody's house, you can't live there for free. And if you do, you're not going to live there too long. Giving God His percentage is nothing more. When you look at it, it's paying rent on earth for what we really owe God. We're taking up His air. We're taking up His property. We're taking up His sunshine. We're taking up His stars. We're using His water. We're using everything of God. It's what we owe Him for living in the land that He gave us. We can't live nowhere for free, in food nor earth. We owe God something. Right. And I love what the man of God just said. It's not just money. It is your talent, your creativity. It is all of these different things that where we get a percentage to God. He's not just talking about 10% in finances. But we owe 10% of our time. We owe 10% of everything of what we are. And when I can't give financially, there ought to be something within me that I can give a percentage of unto God that he looks upon and says he is well pleased with.
Yes.
It's an offering. It's still an offering unto God.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Amen. Amen. I can go into so many other things, from Cain and Abel to all these other different things. You've got to understand that whenever I do give my offering, I'm going to make it the best offering, and I'm going to give my best out of what I have.
Give your best.
Not the less. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Elder Clay. I'm going to turn it over to you, and you can give us
Amen.
Last words
Amen.
To dismiss up if there's nothing else.
Amen. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for your comments. Pastor Mixon, as always, you always share with us or give us a room to think about how we are to live our life for God. So we do thank you for that. And that is so true. You know, when you make it with his title, you know, he's the God of more than enough. You know, God gives us, you know, more than we even ask for. You know, so when we wake up in the morning and we're excited, you know, to serve God and serve Christ, God knows our heart. You know, he knows our heart, and especially when we go to service, it's about giving. It's about giving. It's about helping. That's the whole purpose of all of this. That was, you know, stated so beautiful. I believe that we're in a season where we're learning how to give. Even for those who don't give, there's all God has second chances. You know, new beginning, second chance. You know, so it's not. We can always learn how to give better. You know, toward God, and just watch God open up the windows of heaven for you. I just dare you to even try what she's even talked about. I just dare you to do it, and watch God just blow your mind. We thank you for tuning in this evening. We invite you back next. Invite you back next Wednesday. I think Pastor Robinson will be on. But may God bless you. Remember, we love you, but God loves you.
God bless you.
Amen. Amen.
Beautiful.
Amen. can begin.